This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Anthony Herron.
All we got to do is do our job and punch him in the mouth every single play.
Bears Monday with Big Ant.
You just want to get into your Chicago bag, start trying to apply a Chicago accent here or there. It's not something I do very well.
Sirius XM and Fox 32 football analyst.
And the bad guys get stopped at the entrance, and he tells them nobody leaves this place without singing the blues.
Anthony Herron and Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Anthony Herron does a terrific job as an analyst for Fox 32. He is great as one of the Score's football analysts, and he joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Out in Melrose Park, or you can go to alpamonteford.com. Big Ant, how are you, sir?
Doing well, Loho. Looking forward to our discussion here as we do every Monday. Excited about the baseball teams in the city. Very intrigued by what's happening with the Bears over there at Soldier Field. It's an interesting time here for Chicago sports. There's a lot of success happening with some question marks kind of still twinged in there.
So what question marks do you have about the Bears?
Well, the question mark, the discussion of the quarterback, we knew that would be an issue coming into the season. And if they're winning, but it still feels like, you know, the performance of the quarterback is uneven or inconsistent, what does that mean for his future with the team? What does that mean for the investment the Bears may be willing or able to make in him? A-Rob is a particular storyline that I didn't necessarily anticipate still being a thing here a couple of games into the season, even if the contract itself wasn't complete, but just to actually even have the, you know, to have sort of a public salvo out there with social media and sort of wiping that of the Bears. That was something I think ended up, you know, being a surprise to some folks, while at the same time, I think all the discussion about it right now has the ball in the court of the franchise. And for now, I don't think it's a big issue. If it does drag on a while longer, it could end up becoming more of an issue with some of the reports and his reaction and whether or not his representative, you know, would be reacting in a certain way. So I think that's one that at the moment is only a performance-based question, but I got my eye on it for how things could continue to progress between A-Rob and the team. And, you know, I think there's certainly some positives here. Will we continue to see the run game progress in the way that it has through a couple of weeks? I believe we will. I think, like you and I were talking about last week, the new personnel on the coaching staff, I think, seems to have much to do with that. And then just Matt Nagy being willing to go back and evaluate how he's handled that in the past. So, you know, overall, as long as they can keep running the ball, they're going to have a chance. I think that will continue to help the defense get itself back into shape as well. But they're thin at certain spots there. And that could end up becoming a problem if the Bears' defense suffers some injuries. Because last year, they were built for more lasting durability than I think they are this year, specifically at linebacker.
I've enjoyed them running the ball and what that affords them the opportunity to do with Mitch off of play action and him being under center for some of that play action. Is what we're seeing from the run game, from your analyst eye, is it attitude or is it scheme? Because it's the same run scheme that we've seen Matt Nagy have. So why are we seeing better results?
Well, he's had it at his disposal. He just hadn't necessarily used it as frequently as one might think he should. Certainly as I have thought he should, looking at last season specifically. But I think that it's more the attitude of the coach than the players, because getting Mitch under center more frequently this season, that enhances the, you know, schematically how you can operate with the run game. It adds some rhythm to the passing attack as well, but it almost forces a downhill charge from the backs in a way that being offset from a shotgun quarterback does not. And a big issue I had, while David Montgomery's talents were apparent last season, was just the path that he would tend to take as a ball carrier, and not having a more immediate vertical charge as he was receiving the ball. So you got a QB under center and that running back in a neutral, what we call a neutral position directly behind him. Now that running back's path takes him immediately towards the line of scrimmage, as opposed to having to step laterally, step sideways, and then after gathering his base, try to get some momentum generated vertically. That not only has suited David Montgomery well, even though, again, he was a zone scheme back and had a lot of gun offset stuff in his spread looks that he was running at Iowa State. Here's a pro, being back there in that neutral position and getting more immediately towards the line of scrimmage, that certainly seems to suit David Montgomery better in what I've seen in just over a season as a Bears back. The O-line, I don't necessarily think the mentality of the O-line is very different. I mean, Juan Castillo as the de facto run game coordinator, Matt Nagy being willing to call runs that suit that. Like, we didn't see as much of J.P. Holtz playing fullback in this particular matchup as we did in week one, but we saw some of that. It was more in the second half of this past game than it was in the first game, but I didn't necessarily have a big issue with the O-line. My issue last year was Matt Nagy calling run plays and the path the running backs were taking. So I think the O-line is really kind of doing what they had the capabilities to do last year. I believe there are other sort of periphery elements that are allowing the O-line to perform better.
I want you to dig into your old Neanderthal days when you were a defensive lineman.
Let me go ahead and get my knuckles cracked here. I'm ready.
All right. You got them all cracked. You're ready to go?
Uh-huh. Let's do it.
What did Neanderthal Anthony think when he would see a running back or a wide receiver leave their feet in the hole?
I mean, you know, there's going to be some reflex, some human reaction to that when they're doing it. Now, for me as a defender, whenever I would catch a guy coming out of a spin move, or if I would catch a guy in the middle of the air, yeah, I'm thinking dangerous thoughts at that point. I got bad intentions when that's happening, you know, because you want to be a physical tackler regardless of that. But, I mean, just being completely frank about it, yeah, you want to punish people on the football field as a defender. And so when a ball carrier is there and he's even more exposed than normal, do you want to end a guy's career? Do you want to send a guy to the hospital? No, but you do want to affect him physically. You do want to affect him perhaps mentally in those situations to see if you can take some of the starch out of him. So, yeah, when I see someone leaping in the air, when I see someone spinning at a moment where I may have an opportunity to clean their clock a bit more, that was always something that had me salivating when I was on my way in for a tackle.
Talking with Anthony Heron, we do this every Monday at 1 o'clock. We get his thoughts on what happened in the Bears game. So happy that he has agreed to be a part of this show in this way. How would you assess Mitch Trubisky's first two games?
Honestly, not too dissimilar to what I would have thought. Like, I think this is similar to what Mitch probably would have been looking like last year, and it's just okay. Like, there's flashes. There's times where you see those physical tools turn into legitimate production for him. I think the discussion last year at times turned into, and we're hearing a bit of it during the early stretch of the season this year, whether or not we should see more no huddle, more tempo, more hurry up from the Bears, because that does feel like when Mitch operates at his best. My answer to that is no. I think that, you know, the Bears having more balance to the offense suits the team better. You know, if they had another quarterback who could carry the squad with his right arm, who you could say, you know what, let's go several series in a row and not even worry about calling a run play, because we know you can read it. You know, we know you can react. We know you can be accurate. You know, we know your mechanics will not suffer. We know you can just carve that defense up. If you got that dude at quarterback, then sure, throwing the run game, I'm always a balanced guy anyway. But if you're going to throw the run game out the window on occasion, yeah, go ahead. If you got, obviously, a great example is a Pat Mahomes. But if you don't have that at quarterback, if you don't have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, then you need balance. You need to support that individual. So even though Mitch maybe at his most comfortable, when he's able to get into a rhythm as a passer by going some no huddle, by going some hurry up, by being in a spread set really frequently. That's not what suits the Bears best, because frankly, Mitch just isn't good enough in that scenario to play great football on a consistent basis. What suits Mitch best is a lot of what we've seen through the first couple of weeks. Week one, nearly a 50-50 balance. Probably would have been more run than pass if the Bears weren't down 17 points. What we saw the other day against the New York Football Giants is what suits the Bears best, where you're running it more frequently than you're throwing the football and still working in some Mitch as a running back, Mitch on the move. I like the fact that we finally got to see a little bit more sprint and boot in the game the other day. I certainly wouldn't mind if that was even more of a consistent staple of the way the Bears end up throwing the football. But overall, Mitch has been fine. Has Mitch earned a huge contract through two games? No. But he was bad for those first three quarters in Detroit. He was outstanding in the fourth quarter. Thought overall he was really good in the first half the other day. He was fine in the second half the other day. Not stellar. Obviously throwing the two interceptions were not good. The second one was to me as much on Mitch as it was A-Rob. The first one, you know, similar things. There's other factors that go into A-Rob getting beat to the spot by a defensive back, to Anthony Miller falling down and allowing that space to be condensed by an additional defender on that first interception. Like, all those other things are factors. But the O-line is dominating through two games against bad defenses, so that just enhances the level of comfort we see from Mitch. We're not going to see him under a lot of duress this week against Atlanta either. Once it gets to the point where the better defenses in the league are playing at a high level, are in condition, can pressure him in the way that they'll be able to do, that's where, to me, the true test of how long-lasting Mitch looking comfortable, looking improved, looking more at ease and in rhythm on the field will really be tested than it is through these early portions of the season, where right now he hasn't really faced a dogged defense yet.
I need your eyes to help me with a hypothesis that I'm working on from yesterday's game. It seemed to me like they were cutting the field in half for Mitch and not announcing it. Like, oh, we're going to send trips left, and then the play side's going to be the right side, and his reads are only on the right side. And I know that you just can't have guys running nine routes on the left side all game, but I thought it was an effective way for them to show the defense something and force them to allocate assets to one side of the field and say, hey, Mitch, look, if there's someone open over there, fine, but your primary and secondary reads are over here. And if they're not there, bounce or throw the ball away. Am I completely reading things wrong, or did you see that too?
No, definitely saw that. I think that your analysis of that is great for multiple reasons. One, because the Bears don't necessarily have to be obvious about that. They don't have to be obvious about when they're trying to, I suppose, condense kind of the mental clutter for Mitch. So it assists him in that manner. But it also points to more of an understanding and why I think we're seeing growth from Matt Nagy, not just in running the football more, but in the types of passing concepts that he's putting Mitch in, the situations he's putting Trubisky in, where Mitch has now gotten more comfortable with the QB center exchange, with the footwork, with the verbiage associated with being under center. So we are seeing more under center because Mitch is better at it, and it suits his team. We saw last season the Bears were better when they were under center. We saw that they were better when there was a fullback on the field, and it helped the run game. But also, to condense that mental clutter assists everyone. It assists everyone on the squad. And Matt Nagy having the ability, having the willingness, the knowledge to know where Mitch with the passing concepts in what can be a vast playbook, and saying, here's what he's good at, here's what he handles best, and putting him in those positions to make plays. I think here early through the season, Matt Nagy leaps and bounds better just with the overall offensive implementation, the schematics of it, because it's one thing to have a great scheme. It's another, as I complained about a lot last season, to actually call the plays that suit the moment, to call the plays that your team can execute well. And he's calling plays his guys can execute well this season. It's still not equaling an immense number of points, but it's growing in the productivity and in the scoring opportunities that are there for his guys on the field. His quarterback needs to make some more throws. His receivers, like Anthony Miller, really didn't play well the other day. Like he wasn't even that good. He had good moments. Him and Mitch both lit it up late in the game in week one. Anthony Miller hasn't been very good aside from that. He definitely wasn't good the other day, whereas Mitch was still pretty good the other day. Anthony Miller certainly was not. So receivers got to make some plays here too, and they need some chunks. We saw chunk. The biggest difference between the first half and the second half was chunk plays. Mitch is looking for those chunk plays. And what I respect about just the way I'm evaluating Mitch processing things in game is that he is having that, you know, touchdown, first down, check down mentality. And the O-line has been good enough to allow for him to do that, to allow him to survey things. And it's not like he still is processing it at an immense rate. Like, he's not rapidly processing it, but you can see him going. Like, even on a third down here, I got an opportunity to hit a swing pass over here to Wims, but I'm not going to look at that yet. I'm going to look deep. That's not there. I'm going to look shallow for a first down. That's not there. You know what? All right, let's go ahead and check it down. I know I can move the chains here. He's had the time to do that based off the way the O-line has performed here. So it's great to see his development. He is a better football player now than he was a year ago, than he was 2 years ago. It still leaves open the question, how good is he? Is he good enough for them to invest that long-term money? But you're seeing Mitch better, and I think a lot of that is because Matt Nagy is continuing to put him in situations that he knows he can handle best.
I'm glad you brought up Anthony Miller, because this is going to sound like really stupid analysis, but I feel like if he was more consistent, he could be great. Not good. Not just an average NFL. I mean, great. But the consistency is the thing that keeps a lot of people from being great. I love the way that he works against defensive backs in one-on-one man coverage. I love that he wants those opportunities to make big plays. He definitely has a level of trust with Mitch. I don't know if that trust has been earned overall, but those are the types of plays where I go, come on, youngster. Like, you could be one of the best guys in the league if every week we could count on no penalties from you after a play.
All right.
And you catching the opportunities where Mitch gives you a chance to win a battle.
Just being engaged, like just being locked in. And a lot of what we see from Anthony Miller were throughout the game the other day. And I only watched the game through one complete time before we went on the post-game show, on post-game live over on Fox 32. So I haven't gone through the entire film again yet. But just as I'm taking notes throughout the game yesterday, and I'll use my DVR, click something back before I go over to the studio and watch it on there. And just watching what seems like sloppy footwork, what looks like Mitch is wanting to look for Anthony Miller, but he's not quite at the spot yet, where I'm seeing him getting jammed up in a scenario that it doesn't seem like you should necessarily even be worrying about a defender, where you're allowing him to get his hands into your sternum and throw off the route timing. And of course, the big drop on what would have been a touchdown pass earlier in the game. You're seeing a lot of that from Anthony Miller. And I think that overall it has so far, and I think will continue to lead to, because we got to remember, man, this is a really big season for Ryan Pace, contract extension or not, because everything is really going to culminate with whether or not what they're doing right now, what they're doing at quarterback, what they're doing at coach, what they're doing with overall personnel, who else is going to get money spent on them. All those things culminate this season. So for Anthony Miller to not look like he's developing at the rate that they thought after the strong finish he had to last season, it's a big deal. And frankly, I think we're starting to see, we're through two games, Darnell Mooney has been extremely impressive. I mean, as soon as that game ended in week one, I was like, man, this guy looks like he's got legit big-time potential. The Bears certainly are obviously seeing that as well. We're seeing more reps for Darnell Mooney. We're seeing Javon Wims, who not only is an effective pass catcher, but he's a great blocker. You know, either he or A-Rob, probably Wims, maybe the best blocking wide receiver. And with the lateral nature of the Bears' offense at times, that matters. So we're seeing what it looked like to me. I haven't looked at the numbers, but it looked like Anthony Miller was on the field less the other day than what one might expect. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to just completely X him out of the offense. They're certainly not going to do that. They need him, I think, to be great for this team to be their best, because he is one of their most competent playmakers right now, a guy who's done more than some of these other younger receivers. I think at his ceiling, he's certainly got like a Golden Tate potential. I don't think he's like number one receiver greatness, but he can be a Golden Tate. And he's not playing like he's able to do that. He's not as consistently locked in, playing with the type of urgency that this offense needs from him. And, you know, if it comes down to it and Darnell Mooney passes him in the near future, and, you know, who knows if that's going to be the case. The best case scenario is a bunch of guys are making plays. That's not what this passing attack is right now. There's really going to be a couple of guys who get a lot of opportunities to make plays because of diminished volume of passing and the quarterback productivity. Maybe Mitch is going to be accurate one game. Maybe he isn't. When the opportunities are there in this system, in this offense, where it's at right now, You got to take advantage of him, man. And Anthony Miller has not – that fourth quarter was great week one. It was a quarter. They need more out of Anthony Miller for the totality of eight quarters than they've gotten right now.
Mooney was so good in the first game and throughout practice last week that they felt comfortable not even dressing Ted Ginn.
Exactly.
And poor Riley Ridley can't even –
Yeah, man. I
get
mean,
on
that,
the
that's
field.
A threshold. That's a when you already get to the point where you're a game into your young career and they got a veteran player of a similar stature, similar skill set, presumably to you, they say, you know, we're going to bench the old head. We're going to bench the vet who we've committed more money to. He's not our future, obviously. And Ted Ginn, Matt Nagy, I thought was very careful to not say anything negative about Ted Ginn, as he should be. Ted Ginn still may mean something to this offense later in the year, but the reason he wasn't on the field is because of Darnell Mooney. And that's a threshold for a young player to sort of, you know, I suppose to get through, especially happening early in your career where some old dude in your meeting room is getting benched because of you. And he still went out there and balled out. So there's going to be more eyeballs on him. There's going to be more film, more scouting reports. And frankly, the Bears will likely continue to find ways to try and feature him within the offense. Like that touchdown grab he had, that wasn't him featured in the offense. That was Mitch extending the play, waving his hand, and then just throwing up a jump ball to a guy who's 5'11", 170, and Mooney made the play. So for an offense that doesn't have a lot of strike to it, that doesn't have a lot of chunk plays, he's a guy with that chunk play potential. They're going to continue to find ways to get him more involved.
I look at the snap count yesterday and see that Danny Trevathan played 50% of the snaps on defense. They used Deion Bush in their dime package. They put him out there. I'm concerned. How concerned should I be that the Bears' fastest linebacker now looks like the slowest linebacker?
It is worthy of enhanced concern. I was trying to talk myself off the Danny Trevathan ledge after week one, just in thinking, you know what, they're just a game into the season, man, and he hadn't played in the RoboCop brace before, so that, you know, I've been through the whole elbow brace thing. That can be disconcerting, especially when you haven't really gotten into guys' chest and shock blockers with your hands before, and maybe that just ends up, because you're playing more pensive, can end up slowing down a lot of things for you. I felt like Danny Trevathan was trying to be more active with his hands. His legs still weren't getting there the other day, and he didn't have, and he's not a big guy as a linebacker anyway, but he does play with some pop normally. He still can bring some funk to him when he gets into blockers, when he wraps up ball carries or drives him in the opposite direction. We just didn't see Danny Trevathan as that guy yet. So, I mean, you know, because of where the NFL is at the moment, to be in sub, you know, your sub packages, your nickels, your dimes, to get Deion Bush onto the field. And frankly, for him to be like the interception he had, he was a linebacker in that moment in their sub
package
and had come onto the field for Trevathan. So if you end up in that scenario, and I'm talking about Matt Nagy learning his personnel, Chuck Pagano learning his personnel better, that's sort of the makeshift, like put this together with super glue and popsicle sticks sort of version of what this Bears defense may be this year, because you're not nearly as deep at ILB. You don't have that confidence in all the other inside linebackers. So to say, as opposed to we're staying in our base defense, let me run Kwiatkowski out here. Maybe it's going to be more of, you know what, let's go to some more sub because it's the modern NFL, and let's get Deion Bush out there. And he's more than physical enough to make that work. And I think we saw that scenario play out the other day where he's a linebacker, essentially, and he's got zone eyes, and he comes up with his first career interception. It's a great moment for him. And I think it speaks to Chuck Pagano learning his personnel more and just saying, you know what, there's other ways we can showcase certain guys here where I may not want Deion Bush in a bunch of coverage when the team's going to throw the ball at us a bunch on the back end, but getting him at my second level, now I've got him who can cover better than Danny Trevathan but still bring some physicality in the middle of the defense.
Big Ann, I appreciate it as always. You should watch Big Ann Heron on Fox 32. You should listen to him every Monday on this very show at 1 o'clock. Have an excellent rest of your week, sir.
You do the same. We got that last little glimmer of nice weather out here. I might take the youngster out through Grant Park for a little stroll here. It's gonna be
Man. It's gonna be 80s later on this week. So I think Bishop's all right. He's gonna be running around outside and looking to tackle people all that he wants for the rest of the week. Be well, sir.
You do the same, Loho.
That is Anthony Heron. He's great. I'm so glad that he's on the show every Monday breaking down the Bears game.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.